Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante, and back in is Andrew P. Shea. Andy, we have a winner from our Ask Ross segment. It was narrowed down right from the start because we only got to two questions. As Ross and I often do, we got off on a tangent. So we ended up talking about pickup basketball, Andy. So how's that for off tangent?
That is off tangent.
We will give credit to Steve from Huntington Valley. It was his question that prompted us to get off topic and go in another direction. Steve will give you credit for that. We'll get a hold of you about your KSN sweatshirt. All right, Andy. Quarter number four, here's what I brought up to you about our topic for today. We know about all the main guys, the stars on the team, and we know who has left the team. But I wanted to get a little bit deeper into this for next season and talk to you about players that either need to step up or that you think will step up. Now, I'm making that kind of general, but I'm sort of leaning towards, can we get guys who are a little under the radar? Maybe people aren't talking about them that much. But as we had a little pre-show discussion about this topic, it was like, boy, there's so many to talk about, Andy, that we decided to make this a two-part series that we would talk about the offensive side of the ball as opposed to the defense, which we'll hit on next week. So let's start on the offensive side. Now, do you want to go by position, Andy, or do you want to just throw out some names to me? Let's start, your first name.
I have your first name, and it's not under the radar, though I do have some under the radar for you. But this one's really important for me because of the ineptitude and inefficiency of Penn State's running game. I think Kevon Lee has to step up. I think he can step up. But I have to say, I wonder if he's going to be given the opportunity to step up. And the baffling thing to me was all through 2021, as much as they struggled, he always kind of looked like the guy who, performance-wise, should have the lion's share of the carries. And he never did. There's a reason for it. That I'm 100% sure of, Jimmy. And we don't know about it. We don't know what it is. But there has to be a reason for it. Because if you average 4.9 yards per carry, but you only get 108 carries in 13 games, there's something else to it. I mean, that's single-digit carries. So I think, given an opportunity, and he has to earn it, so it might be a two-way street thing, like, he's kind of not doing some of his part, and there's, you know, some hesitation to make him that guy. I just think my eye test when he carries the ball is that's an RB1. That guy should be getting the ball on a more consistent basis. Doesn't mean he would have gotten 100 yards in a game this season, because behind that offensive line, it just seemed like that was not going to happen. But I think he needs to step up. And given the opportunity, I think he can.
I think some of the issues were evident with him, Andy, in that the 4.9 yards per carry average looks very nice. But there were too often when they had third and one and he might dance instead of getting the 1 or 2 yards needed. And he ends up gaining no yards. Or he put the ball on the ground, even if he fell on the ball himself, didn't lose the fumble. It seemed like he made enough other mistakes that James Franklin wasn't going to tolerate. I'll just throw a name out there that nobody is talking about at running back, and that's Keziah Holmes, the guy who redshirted but showed flashes in 20. All right, Andy, let's go another position. Give me another guy.
All right, since you're forcing me to go another position, I did have a running back.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. No, go ahead if you have another running back.
Remember Devin Ford? Remember him?
I do.
Okay, 14 carries, 61 yards in 2021. Completely lost in the shuffle of not only the running back room, but the dumpster fire that was the running game, right? He has not entered the transfer portal. He's had a very rough and humbling career, but he's stuck, right? He's sticking. As of right now, he has stuck. He still has talent. He had an opportunity to be the top dog. He was not ready. Is Nick Singleton ready to be the sort of top dog in this room? I don't know. I just have a sneaky suspicion that Devin Ford, if called upon to be in a bigger role, and I think they could use it, he will be ready this time, and I think he steps up. I really do. He's had a very difficult and humbling career, and he has not run away from the fire.
That's an interesting call, at the very least, Andy, with Devin Ford. I hope. I've been a big fan of his since watching his film in high school. I'm not sure he's been used correctly. I think of him, could he be like that third down back out of the backfield, catching passes where he's out in the open, and we could see some of that speed, some of the explosiveness? We shall see. All right, who's next up on your list?
I am going to go with center Juice Scruggs. He has to step up. He's most likely going to be working next to guys to his left and right that don't have a lot of experience, as it looks right now. He's bumping the center from guard. He played the majority of last season at guard. Center's his more natural position. He makes the calls. He makes the checks. He needs to be the leader of that offensive line. They need to go in a new direction, and they need a complete sort of makeover. And moving him to center, that gives him an opportunity to be a leader, because he's the guy that's directing traffic. So I think he needs to step up in that role. I think he'll be fine football-wise as center, because I think he's a really good center with marginal NFL skills and potential at that position. So he's one guy that I would have to say is the – he has to step up.
You know, offensive line, I thought about this position quite a bit, Andy, and I think you could go about 100 different ways there. Yep. Scruggs is a good call. How about Fashanu with one start, you know, becoming your left tackle? How about Caden Wallace, a guy who's a returning, you know, third year as a starting right tackle, you know, might he be the guy that has to step up? So you could name several of them, but here's the name I'm going to go with, Landon Tengwall. I know he was the highest-rated player in his class to come in, so it's not like he's an unknown, but I just get the feeling they could do a couple different things with him, but he's got to become an anchor for this offensive line for the next few years. This is a guy that you kind of build around that. You plug him in, you know that one of those five positions is taken care of. And I believe he's got to be that guy as soon as this season, even though he's just a redshirt freshman. All right, Andy, what else do you have?
Landon was on my list, Jimmy. And before I move on, I just want to say he will be one of the starting five. I'm going to say that right now. I saw enough of him in 2021 at both tackle and guard. He will be a starting five. 6'6", 325, like you mentioned, the top recruit in his class. It's his time, right? It is time. And I think there's an outside possibility. I really think that he might be the answer at tackle, at right tackle. I really do. He can play guard, but I really think in order for him to be an impact player, he needs to be the answer at right tackle. But either way, I think he's one of Penn State's starting five.
Somebody has to be the answer at right tackle. Okay, what else do you got for me, Andy?
All right, I got a surprise for you, Jimmy. I got an outside-the-box guy that I threw in on the offense.
Let's call this one your bold pick, Andy.
He's from the 2022 recruiting class. It is punter Alex Bichetta. He's a true freshman, right? But he's a highly touted punter. Penn State needs a punter. Don't underestimate the kicking game in special teams when you're talking about this team during the offseason and how important they are and how relevant they are. They're going to have a new special teams coach this year. He's going to be the only punter on scholarship. And as I think back and I look at, you know, you watch games and you look at games, I'm sorry. I think one of, yeah, Sean Clifford going out in the Iowa game was a huge, huge deal. But I think at the end of the day, for me, football-wise, the real reason Iowa beat Penn State and was able to come back in that game last year was their punter, right? Kicking matters. Jordan Stout has been sort of the, you know, he was just exceptional at pretty much everything he did. He developed as a much better punter. He's always an outstanding kickoff guy. This guy, he can kick off a little bit, but he's an outstanding punter. They're going to need a punter. So it might be his time, and they're, it is a place they're going to need somebody to step up.
You know, Andy, that's a good call, because I appreciate that James Franklin does take his kicker seriously and he has invested in them. We've seen, you know, a couple punters now that have made a difference with Penn State. Jordan Stout has been fantastic, and he's not the first punter that James Franklin has had here who has made a difference. And I think he won't be the first of James Franklin's punters to end up in the NFL. So I think a good call, and hopefully that is the case again, that this will be an elite punter. I want to throw another name or two at you. Go ahead, Andy.
I was going to ask you, I left the wide receivers to you because I know you're enamored with the wide receiver position, and I'm curious to hear your picks at the wide receiver position. That's why I stayed away from them.
Okay, I'll give you my wide receiver pick. And, you know, again, you could have different names. Could Parker Washington be the number one? Yes, I think he can be. Mitchell Tinsley's coming in as, you know, the transfer. Can he be a 1A or 2? Yeah, everything I hear about him, yes, he can be. And, you know, I think Caden Saunders, we talk about him. Any of us who've seen his high school film, we love him and think he might be able to step on the field right away. But I'm going to go with Malik Mega. The coaches have talked a lot about him, and he looks quite different than the other receivers. He's a big guy with speed, and if you go back a few years ago when Joe Moorhead was coaching, remember those big receivers flying down the field, making big catches? I think, I'm not sure he will do it, but that he... him making that next step would be huge for this team.
It would be because of the reason, and you said it so well, he looks different than anybody else. I think one of the biggest challenges for the offensive coaching staff this season is to develop a big receiver, because they've done a lot of good work with smaller receivers, right? They made do with smaller receivers and outstanding tight end. They need a bigger receiver.
That they do. All right, Andy, that was a fun segment, but that's it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Be sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.